it's fun. Exploding Barrel Podcast for February 10th, 2017. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, AJ.
Hello!
How's it going? What have you? How's it going?
Good.
That's good. That's
back
good.
To a semi-regular schedule.
Yeah, so you were gone for a bit. You were in Disneyland. Did you have fun?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good. I was really
worried. Turns out Hyperspace Mountain is really awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Who would have thunk when you take my favorite theme park ride and then put Star Wars in it?
It's better.
It gets better.
Right? It is hard to believe, like taking that away, because it's just like
so good,
right?
Like it feels like it was built that way from the beginning.
Like, so far they only got rid of it to do the Halloween overlay that they do every year for a bit, which I've never seen.
Yeah, Ghost Galaxy.
I've never done Ghost
Galaxy. It's a cool concept, a ghost made out of nebula.
I see
it's a big ghost.
It's a big ghost. Yeah, all right then. So yeah, let's so today we're going to talk about, you know, the Switch launches real soon. Isn't that
real
strange?
Soon. It doesn't feel like... Well, when's the last time we had a major hardware launch not in November?
That's true.
Right?
That itself is weird.
So
actually,
I think that's... I mean, DSs have come out in March.
Have they?
Didn't the 3DS originally come out in March?
Sounds about right.
So it was like right after PAX East.
Yeah, sounds about right. So, but yeah. But yeah, it's a little, the time's a little strange. It also, it's just that, you know, it kind of moved a bit quickly on this. Like, we found out what it was, and it was coming out not too long after that. So, it was quite a while where people were still like, what is this next system going to be?
This NX that they keep
And it was
of.
Always the rumor that it was going to be the portable console hybrid.
Well, yeah,
that got out real quick.
We were right.
Yeah, that got out real quick. But, so yeah. But here we are. It's like coming out less than a month. So, we thought we'd talk about some other, console launches that we really remember fondly. Just kind of some memories about that stuff and whatnot. Now that we're getting close to this. So, when the interesting thing about it is, like, the last couple ones haven't really been memorable for us, because we were all kind of scattered about. Like, we didn't really go to, like, big lines for PlayStation 4 or Xbox One.
Yes, we did. We were lined. You were lined up for PS4 at GameStop, remember?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't.
Well, let me tell that story. Because, So Xbox One, I just ordered on Amazon. I was like, okay, here it is. Mm-hmm. How'd you get... You didn't get yours right away. You got it for
I think I just got mine for my birthday. Yeah.
And I wasn't going to get a PS4 originally, but then I ended up having the funds to do it. So I was like, okay. But by the time I decided that, the pre-orders at GameStop were gone. So again, I just ordered mine on Amazon. But I went with you guys. You don't remember this? We lined up. Dad brought hot chocolate.
No.
It wasn't a big line.
It was not.
You know, I think those, especially around here in Youngstown, Ohio, I think those days are probably gone. I'm curious to see what the Switch launch is like, because it's a midnight sale at Best Buy.
Right.
It wasn't a lot of fanfare. We just kind of sat outside and then went to some GameStop and you bought PlayStations.
Well, that'll probably do it then.
Going back a generation, that was the last really exciting one. The 360 launch, as you may recall, you were going to college at Toledo at the time.
Yeah, you got it at Toledo.
Yeah, because I drove in to see you, and I didn't pre-order one because I didn't know where I was going to be exactly at that time. I was still going to be in Pittsburgh, we were talking about me coming out to you. So, you had class, and I was like killing time. I was like, oh, I'm going to go drive around and see like what the 360 launches look like. And every place had like tents and long lines. I'm like, oh shit. Cause that was, remember the 360 launch was, oh yeah, we're getting 50 units, but only two are pros and the rest are core systems.
That was the worst. That's so
that
funny.
Was,
I'm so glad we're done with that crap.
Right. So I remember walking into a Target, cause there was no one at the Target. And I went to the game counter, said, are you guys selling 360s when you open tomorrow? They said, oh yeah. Do you guys have a line yet? No, I don't think so. So I walked outside to a bench right by the entrance, sat down, and literally as I sat down, some guy came up. Are you in line for 360? Well, yes, I am. Yeah. Line starts here.
There we go.
And it was rough just because it was cold and rainy. You know, it was that week before Thanksgiving. But it was fun. Like,
you can't even want a console in the summer. It's always in winter.
Everyone in line had a good time. Like you know, everyone got to know each other. We all had our, was it DS or Game Boy at the time?
What, the 2000...
5? That was Game Boy.
No, that was DS. It was DS. Came out 2004.
Yeah, you're right. So, you know, we were all doing that, and like people would take turns going to a nearby Steak and Shake for hot chocolate and coffee. Actually, when it was my turn to go, I come back and I've got like half a dozen hot chocolates, and everyone's giving me this look like someone shot their puppies.
That's right.
And I'm like, what's going on, guys? And they're like, dude, we got some bad news. What? Well, the store managers came out. This is like 5 in the morning after we've already waited like 8 hours. They're like, well, I mean, they're getting 50 systems. We're all going to get one, but they're all core. I literally almost turned around and left. And then like literally 50 people start laughing. And I'm like, what is going on?
Oh, my God.
Turned out they got 8 pro systems, and I was number one. So that was fun.
And like everybody stocked up on the cores, man.
Microsoft handled so much wrong about that one. I don't know what they were thinking. Like I get like having the lower price.
Everybody was terrified of the higher price, and that whole internal sourcing was still pretty new.
But here's what I don't understand: like especially at like launch, you're selling out.
Right.
Why wouldn't you sell? Why would you make more of the expensive one?
Yeah, unless you're a PlayStation 3.
Hey. Yeah, because remember that one?
That one was expensive.
And that did not go. God, when did we get a PlayStation 3?
I got one I don't think I got one on launch day, but I got one a couple weeks
ago. I got one.
And part of it was because they were just in stores. I'm like, all right.
I don't think I actually got a PS3 until I graduated college.
Oh, really?
Because I bought it with money Grandpa gave me as like a graduation gift. So I didn't even have my own PS3 for a couple of years. That's funny.
How'd you play Resistance?
Sure, I played your copy.
Yeah, for a hot second. Like, yeah. I did, yeah.
The Wii launch was fun. You weren't there for that one.
No, for Wii, I just went to GameStop. I had a pre-order pretty early, and I just walked in. They knew midnight, so I was... It was a little anticlimactic, but the fun thing for the Wii was pre-ordering it. There was a line for that. Uh-huh. And I had a lot of friends there, actually. So, and I remember, like, before the store opened that morning, me and my one friend, we went to that Burger King right there and got breakfast. And it was just, like, really exciting. Especially with the Wii, because it was, like, such a different thing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. So I remember that pretty well. That was at GameStop here.
Yeah, for the Wii, our brother Chris, he was going to Slippery Rock at the time. And, he drove down to Pittsburgh, and again, neither of us were able to get a pre-order in, but the rumor was that for whatever reason, Nintendo and Toys R Us like had some deal where they were getting the bulk of the shipment. Mm-hmm. Like, some stores were getting, like, 10, but the rumor was they were getting at least 200 at this Toys R Us outside of the city. So we get there, and this line is massive.
Mm-hmm.
And we were not prepared. Like we didn't have like food or anything. We actually, before the Toys R Us closed, Chris went inside and bought like a giant thing of animal crackers because that was like one of the few food things they sold. So, but fortunately, like one of the local pizza areas got smart and like just sent guys there and like just started taking orders, and they brought food back to the line. So, like, we had pizza, we had our animal crackers. And it was a midnight sale too, which was great because like everywhere else was, you know, till the next morning. But we went and did like a rough count of people in line, and we were like 208 and 209. We're like, God damn it, no! But we were fine. We got our. What did Chris leave? We got back to my place, set everything up. I forget, he either stayed the night or left. I can't remember. But whenever he left, he forgot, like, the power cord.
He forgot something.
So he, like, couldn't play it for a week until I saw him again. So, whoops. Good job being there at midnight, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's the experience.
But that was an exciting one, because it was that first time. It wasn't like, oh, let's see how these graphics look. I mean, when I got a 360, I didn't have an HD TV yet. So yeah. I was like, okay.
I remember you plugged it into my, like, CRTV in my dorm room. We, like, played it. It was like, cool.
Like, oh, look at that sweat in this basketball player.
That was like a big problem, because everybody was complaining, like, this texture is too small for a regular TV.
Yeah. But the Wii was like, oh, my God, like, look at the pointer move as I move this controller around. Right,
this is cool, taking that controller out. Holy, like, this is so weird.
The first time you had that thing,
right?
Setting up the system, just navigating menus, you're man.
It was a big
wish
deal.
This looked better.
But that's okay. Look, we're playing tennis.
Yeah, right. A lot of fucking tennis.
A lot of tennis. So then kind of, I guess the ones before that is Xbox, the original Xbox and GameCube. These always happen kind of by my birthday, so there's always like whenever there's like the two, there's the one I get, like in this case it's the GameCube, and there's the one I get for my birthday.
Well, and that's the fun difference about being an adult now with this shit. Yeah, I can buy it. We go buy it when it comes out.
Yeah, before, the Switch, I was like, oh, I bought it.
Yeah, before it was always like, eh, I gotta wait till Christmas.
It's like, oh, or no, whatever. No, I have to really try to earn some brownie points
I here. Don't actually have $400.
No, that's like, yeah, just like, it's like nothing you can do. I can never have yeah, that much
just,
money.
Just wasn't gonna happen.
What am I gonna do?
Yeah, but GameCube was, it wasn't launched per se, but we owned a Japanese GameCube because Mike Zors couldn't wait.
In my mind, I justify it by being like, we could just hotwire it to play the English games, which I don't know to mod it. But turned out that was way more difficult than I thought, so we just had to also buy it. But hey, I got to play Luigi's Mansion Super Monkey Ball a couple months early.
It paid off dividends. When
Sunshine
Mario remake. Sunshine was yes. a month later.
Yes,
and instead of waiting that month, you imported the game and got your Japanese GameCube back out.
Yeah. I dug that thing back out, played through Mario Sunshine. All the text was in English and it said Shine Get. It was great.
No, not all the text. I never
until... Oh, that's right. Some of the menus. The menus were...
No, not even that.
The dialogue wasn't...
No, but there was like... When you're running around town, there would be those like PA announcements,
right.
And it would scroll them up. Those were Japanese,
right?
And
I meant like spoken words.
I didn't know what those said until just a few years ago.
I beat that game though, so, and I think Soul Calibur 2. I also
we had Soul Calibur 2, the Japanese version, for some reason.
Right. I still love the game. Everything about the GameCube makes me feel good now. I love that system. That was a pretty good launch lineup too. Not having like a Mario or a Zelda, yeah, Luigi's Mansion. Mm-hmm. You got Super Monkey Ball. Super Monkey Ball is like one of the like. Launch title hidden gems of all time.
It was Rogue Leader
a launch game? Yeah, that was a launch game.
That was an incredible
game. That was super cool. Like, yeah, I mean, Xbox, the original Xbox might have the one of the best launch games of all time. It's either that or, like, one of the Marios. Like, Mario 64 Mario World. But, like, having Halo.
Halo was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and that's something that's...
Meanwhile, on the PS2, we were playing Fantavision.
Isn't it funny how, in the long run, the best library probably... Easily, I mean, even as much as I love the GameCube, the PS PlayStation had so many good games.
Yeah, just had to get going.
But that, yeah, what a launch! It, yeah, Bouncer. Right, Tekken Tag Tournament.
Yeah, there's a Tekken.
It just did not look real good. Had a lot of it was real jagged. That was like the thing people said for a while because like the PlayStation 2 graphics are so jaggedy, even compared to like Dreamcast for a bit.
They didn't have any anti-aliasing or something.
Yeah, there's some reason for it, but yeah, like it just didn't look as like. Smooth for some reason, but the PlayStation 2. I mean, that we didn't get that one quite on launch.
We got it for Christmas.
We got it for Christmas that year. So that and that was pretty cool.
We told this story.
Yeah, I think we told the story. But yeah, our dad like the short version. Our dad like we didn't know we were getting one, but he wrapped. He got four controllers for it, or three, I mean, and he wrapped those and had us open those first. And first, we're like, "Oh, you got the wrong controllers, Dad." then he got up the PlayStation 2. That was very exciting.
We were so happy we didn't even have the heart to tell him that we needed a multi-tap.
And I think from that point earlier, I think pretty much all the systems we don't get like right on launch day or anything like that. The Saturn was that was when we didn't know it was going to be.
Sega's weird. Like, and it's out now.
The PlayStation we got because Chris found a wallet. That had,
it wasn't like, a wallet. It was a wad of cash.
Yeah, it's got a lot of cash in a parking lot. And
We tried to find the correct owner.
I still wonder if Dad planted that because he wanted to get us a PlayStation and wanted to like justify it to Mom or something.
I don't know.
I feel like
it was exactly $300.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because he was pretty quick to be like, "We're gonna PlayStation."
Yeah, let the record show. It wasn't even our idea.
Yeah, so just say.
Yeah, you never know. I felt good about it for a long time.
I think in 64 we did get pretty much on launch, actually. I think we just went to the stores like, we're going to
get it. Yeah, because I remember being at Toys R Us and only being two games.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's funny. Even back then, we were two games.
Oh, the one's the best game of all time. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty. And the other one's pretty good. Pilot Wings, sure. I played a lot of Pilot Wings.
Shit ton of Pilot Wings.
That was fun, man.
You unlocked those wings? Oh, that was the best.
Because that was, you know, both those games are cool because they were kind of open world E before open world was like a thing.
We had an analog stick for the first time.
It was like, we're going to never get 3D World. That was, C4 is interesting because it was like the last time where, like, the system itself didn't necessarily have a gimmick, but just like, playing a game on still felt like completely new and different. Like playing Super Mario 64 at that time was just ridiculous. Like it was nothing like that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like it's not like a letdown that like you expect anything else, but like with systems these days, like, you're going to play games on them, and they're going to look better.
Diminishing returns at this point. That's okay.
And that's fine. But like, you can play, like, VR or something, and that'll be like, oh, this is new and crazy. But
or,
that's like,
or Kinect.
Or Kinect. Oh, my God. But, so, it'll be interesting. Yeah, I am just really excited how, for the Switch, we do have, like, the three of us, all the Minottis, going out to Best Buy.
To a midnight sale. It's very, very old school.
Yeah, and, yeah, we'll be there for the, you know, for quite a while, all night. We'll get there pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it matters if we have a pre-order, but hey, we can't dilly-daddle here. Go through the line, we'll get... What are you going to get with yours? Are you going to get Zelda?
I pre-ordered the Zelda, not the crazy collector's edition, but the middle collector's edition. I don't get a sword.
I'm just going to pre-order the base game just to make sure I get it. Are you going to get a pro controller if you see one?
If they have them out, I'll probably snag one. I have a back pile of reward zone certificates that I didn't actually put towards the purchase because I didn't have them yet. Yeah. And I don't know, but like, you're always worried, like, if I go change my payment info, is that going to fuck up my place in line or something, you know? So I'm just leaving it alone.
Well, we'll have the two brothers, so it'll be all right.
Yeah. And yeah, I figure there's other stuff coming out in March I want to get. So
You think you'll get a second game?
I'll download it.
Yeah.
It
might be interesting to see, like, what reviews say. Right? Like, if people are like, turns out Bomberman R is actually, like, really good.
Yeah, it's got to be really good for it to be $50.
So, but we'll see.
I who do you think is going to be the first one to crack and get 1-2 Switch?
Chris. It's not going to be me.
Nah, it'll be you. You're going to have, me? Like, you're going to have, like, Dave and Jen and all your friends over. You'll be like, oh, Mike, let's get the cow milking game. Maybe. And you're going to be drunk. And you're going to be like, oh, yeah, it'll be funny. And buy it.
It will be. I bet you. I'll tell you what. I bet you I would have thought
that. In that situation, I think you'd get your $50 worth.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You want to Switch.
What else is... is Shovel Knight launch? If it is, I will download that night.
I would actually get that pretty right away.
I never actually finished the first one, and it's got all the expansions and everything.
Because the Plague Knight DLC is great, and then the other one's coming out.
I think that day.
Is it that day?
I think it's part of the launch game. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that'll probably be like the supplemental purchase
to play through some more Shovel Knight because that game is just.
Well, that's the thing too. I only ever owned it on 3DS, and I was like, oh, I wish it was on a TV, and now it's on both.
See, I only ever got it on Wii U.
Yeah. Whoops.
No, it's coming out, I don't think it's coming out until April.
What's with all these like games coming out in April? Like you couldn't. I've started a month earlier.
Puyo Tetris is coming out like in April. It's like, I can't. That'd be kind of a maybe fun launch game.
Right? What the hell?
Yeah. So, well, you know, it'll take us a month to get through Zelda. Couple weeks.
That's what I keep telling us. I was like, well, I ain't been playing Zelda for a month. It's like, what are we worried about, really?
Beat Final Fantasy before the Switch comes out, man.
I'm trying.
Get to it. All right, so let's move on a little bit here. Talk about Fire Emblem and our kind of special thing. How are you enjoying Fire Emblem?
Enjoying it quite a bit.
Yeah, I think it's really fun. Actually, it's like it's funny how just like how much better suited it is for mobile than say Mario.
Oh yeah,
or almost any other Nintendo game you can think of.
It's a much easier translation, I guess. Yeah, it's more sensible. You never needed buttons to play Fire Emblem,
and it's still the presentation is really slick. Still,
oh yeah, I like how like the map has like a cohesive art style, but then like the character portraits they kind of play to the fact that they're a little disparate looking in certain situations.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like there's the threadbare story of this game.
It's an excuse more than a story.
I always like games where you are literally you.
Oh man,
like
you've been summoned.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like that's fun to me. Even like Awakening, like you played Robin, and like you know I didn't know his name was supposed to be Robin. I just put in AJ.
Sure.
And they even make some jokes about that when you're talking to Robin, like oh you were summoned too, or like you're a tactician too. Interesting.
Yeah. A lot of cool words.
Yeah, but yeah, I like that the idea is somehow I've ended up in the world of Fire Emblem. Yeah, I got this gun that shoots heroes.
Yeah, right. It's like, yeah, sure, whatever. But, yeah, it is just, I don't know. It's smart how they're able to take something where usually a game is like 30 minutes long and like have those like 5-minute battles. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you're like playing through grinding up.
And that happens because of army size and map size. Which,
sure.
You know, makes
and
sense.
Movement size. It's just like everything's kind of scaled down appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And, like there's like some of the concessions. So like you don't have like a range of what your attacks are going to do. It just tells you this is how much this attack's going to do. You're going to know if you're going to die or not.
Yeah, there's no critical hits.
Yeah, you can't possibly miss. There's no like hit chance and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, and there's no permadeath. Which is, you know, I think necessary if people are paying for heroes.
Oh, sure. I wonder if they couldn't do, like, if a character died, like, you couldn't use them for an hour or something. Like,
yeah, maybe.
Because I feel like that is one issue. I'm collecting all these heroes. Oh, man.
That is kind of the problem. Like, once you have...
What am I going to do with them?
Because, like, you're fishing for the five-star heroes, so anything mm-hmm. that's not that... I mean, you can use feathers to upgrade some of them, but...
It's that system is, I think, the most broken thing about the game. It's so expensive to upgrade anything.
Mm-hmm. But on the other side, you get you get enough of that currency you need to buy heroes that you can make you can pretty easily get an army of like at least 2 5-star heroes and like a couple 4-star ones around and get through most of the game.
Let me correct you. You get a lot of it early on. I feel like that well's going to dry up real fast.
No, I mean, I still just from playing the campaign. I mean, you get one every time you beat a level.
You're going to finish that
right, campaign. But by that time, you'll get to like spin that roulette where you get 5 heroes like 3 times. You'll have 15 heroes. Like, one of them will be... You know, 5-star.
I'm just saying, like, so again, to be clear, I do like the game. Mm. Will I be playing it a year from now?
Well, sure. No.
I don't think so.
What game will you be playing a year from
now? Well, I played that, finally think I'm done with it now, but that Star Wars Galaxy.
Oh, sure, but you like Star Wars a lot.
I like Fire Emblem a lot.
You don't like Fire Emblem as much as you like Star Wars.
Well, sure. I'm very curious to see what happens, because, like, we're in, like, a promo period with stamina.
Yeah, stamina is becoming more and more of an issue the further you play.
Yeah, like, and people are bitching about it now, and whenever this is done, training costs will double, and you'll have to spend stamina just to equip abilities, which I think is lame.
Yeah. But really?
I don't know.
That seems weird.
No, it is. I mean,
yeah, I think they might have to ease off on stamina.
I mean, they already have been making concessions to the hero feathers. They did, like, a thing on Twitter where it is... If this tweet got retweeted 10,000 times, they'd give everybody 10,000 feathers, and that happened almost immediately.
You're like, feather, please.
And then there's now quests to get feathers, but it's still, like, pretty slow.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's like, oh, I need 20,000 feathers to upgrade. Oh, look, someone's in my keep. Here's 5 feathers. Oh, thank you.
It's interesting. Just think how many more people are playing Fire Emblem now because of this than ever before.
Our brother Chris is into it more than you and I, and he's never played Fire Emblem.
I mean, he's tried. He never liked them, honestly. Yeah. So. I was watching a playthrough of Fire Emblem 1 on the NES last night just for fun.
I don't even know what that looks like. What does it look like?
That's what's interesting, because it still looks like Fire Emblem.
Is it like the battle scenes?
Yeah.
Are they like, what are they look
They're pretty
like?
Plain. There's like black backgrounds. The interesting thing is, like, it's interesting how much of it is all there, like all the stats and like trading weapons and all stuff. It's interesting the things that aren't there. There's no weapon triangle yet.
Huh.
It's just like, it's just like swords like are like decent attack, decent accuracy. Pole arms are low attack, good accuracy, and axes are, or I think actually swords are pole arms or sword swings. Axes are like, but so on.
So it's more like pros and cons.
The most day thing about it to be the most difficult is like you can't actually see the limits of like you don't get a grid when you select a character and where they can like go. You just have to like know what their movement speed is and count. If you like go too far, like they can't go there. So, I mean, there's definitely some, like, age things about it, but it's also kind of impressive. Like, oh, this is pretty much
Fire Emblem.
Right? So, yeah, that's kind of fun to watch it. Are you excited for that remake of Gaiden coming out?
Cautiously so. From what I've read from, like, people who, like, played translated ROMs, a lot of people don't think it's actually that good.
Well, I mean, it's not like it's not going to be, like, a super direct remake.
Yeah, right?
I mean, they remade Fire Emblem 1 twice. I think it's kind of.
I've heard it described as the Link to the
Zelda 2.
The Zelda 2, yeah.
Of Link, the series.
What the hell is it? Link.
Link's Adventure.
Yes, jeez.
Link's Adventure.
Yeah, it's like the Link's Adventure of Fire Emblem. There's like dungeon crawling and stuff like that. We'll see. I'm more excited, obviously, for the Switch Fire Emblem.
Sure,
game,
that's which, a bit away.
Yeah, it's a ways off, but that'll be awesome.
Well, that'll be really cool so to see, good. Like, what that will, like, the full-on console.
I remember being worried when they went from Game Boy Advance to 3DS, because the 2D artwork in the GBA games was good.
Well, that's why I didn't actually get into the remake of Fire Emblem 1 on DS, because it was, like, just polygon characters, and it didn't really look that good to mm-hmm. me. And the same thing with the GameCube and Wii ones. Like, yeah, it kind of lost something, because, like, the sprite work was so cool.
Yeah, and they somehow got the 3D stuff right in Awakening.
Yes,
except they didn't have feet, but
Awakening was like, oh, these battle scenes still look cool. Yeah, I do remember that being a letdown in those games.
Have you turned off battle animations in Heroes yet?
No.
I have.
Now you say it, though. I'm like,
Yeah, you can turn them off.
You can even do that in the NES once. That's what, like, that's weird. Yeah. It's surprising the things that are there.
The depth of it.
The depth.
What was the first one to come out in America? Was it the first GBA one?
No, it was the second GBA one. The first GBA one is one that stars Roy.
Ah.
Called Blazing Blade, I think. And then Blinding Blade was its sequel, and it was actually like a prequel. You play as his father, Elliewood, and that was one that came out here and was just called Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
So Roy was in Smash Bros. Melee because Blazing Blade was about to come out like a month later. So it's basically like a promotion thing.
So, I mean, let's face it, Smash Brothers is the reason this series
that's
came
out. Like, that's what's so funny about the whole thing. Like this, because, well, it was so cool at that time because like, you're playing Melee and you unlock Marth, and you're like, who the hell is Marth? And then you read, it's like, what's a Fire Emblem? And then you, like, you get, and it's like, you almost feel, and then you learn, like, oh, it's only Japan. It was like learning about a secret Nintendo franchise. You're like, yeah. Nintendo has an RPG series besides Mother?
Yeah, that's been around since the NES, and I've never heard of it.
I think, like, me and a lot of people, like, I want to play this.
Yeah, what the hell? Are you holding out on
I remember this? I think that's there was like that clamor for it, and then Advance Wars was the first one that came out for Game Advance, and it actually did do well. So Nintendo's like, okay, we can maybe let's release the next.
Was this one of those cases where Nintendo Japan was like, oh, this is too hard for the Americans?
Yeah, they're like, they don't like strategy games. Like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah, have you played Wizardry? Like, come on,
you guys don't like strategy games. We have strategy games. We got plenty of those.
Yeah, play some Civilization.
Yours isn't even that hard.
Yeah, right?
What are you doing? But yeah, so they finally released that one, and then, it was just called Fire Emblem, but there it is. It was pretty good. I liked Sacred Stones actually more.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Sacred Stones was super
good. Yeah, that was really good.
Sacred Stones was very good then.
Huh. So. I never thought, since I have that Dolphin emulator set up, to like throw in the Radiant Dawn and like crank it up to 4K and see what it looks like.
Right, Dawn and Path of Radiance, both of those. Yeah, see, I never really got into the Ike ones as much. Mm-hmm. The Ike sub-series.
Oh, Ike's my favorite Smash Bros. Character, because I just stand in the corner and just keep doing my powered up attack. Hope one of you guys walk into it.
That's really all he's got. But yeah, so again, it's just fun to see the Fire Emblem-ness. I wonder what that Animal Crossing game will be like. I wonder if it's going to be as like a very literal Fire Emblem game, or if it's going to be more like it's going to like a mobile town-building game, you know?
Yeah, I think it'll be kind of like, it'll have the Animal Crossing aesthetic, but it'll play like Farmville.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think that's what you're going to get out of that.
We'll see.
Do you have any excitement for Fire Emblem Heroes? Or not Heroes,
I have some curiosity. Warriors? I played through Hyrule Warriors and had some fun with it. It wasn't anything great, but, you know, I think it'll be kind of neat just to kind of play as these characters in like a more full, like this way, Gazelle, like this more full and active thing. Those games are very bombastic, I guess. Like, it is kind of fun.
Yeah, and hopefully with the increased power of the Switch, they can go even higher than
right, that was kind of one of the things that hurt Hyrule Warriors. Yeah. It looks super good. Then they put on new 3DS, so I was like, oh, I don't even know what that looks
yeah,
like.
Right.
Although they put the Wind Waker characters on there, so that was tempting. Alright, I think that's about it.
Okay.
Alright, well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at evpodcast.com, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. And Google Play, same thing. And we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Bro Podcast.
Bye-bye.